بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الرسول لعلكم ترحمون. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس فيه فهو رد، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected listeners, Alhamdulillah, we are now on lesson number 23 concerning wisdom of actions. We are discussing about the importance of the sources of Sharia, the Quran, the Sunnah, Ijma and Qiyas. And up to now, Alhamdulillah, we have discussed to some detail about the Quran, and we are now discussing the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have mentioned many facts about the Sunnah, and now Alhamdulillah we are embarking on discussing the Ahadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Alhamdulillah, we have mentioned in our previous lesson about how during the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the writing of the ahadiths were already taking place, and let alone taking place, but Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when we study the history of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made dua for him that Allah ta'ala help him and strengthen his right hand and strengthen his memory with his right hand, meaning by writing his memory will improve. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spread out a shawl, made dua and told Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that wrap it around. And Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wrapped it around himself and stated that after that he did not forget anything which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to continue and emphasize the fact that writing already existed there, and compilations, correspondence and certificates were issued during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is a great group out there, and sadly many simple-minded Muslims are influenced by the enemies of Islam and the Orientalists, stating that no, the Ahadiths are spurious and dubious because the science of writing was not in existence, which I am currently disproving, and also that the retentive memory, according to them, of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and whom was not good. Now, apart from the hordes of books dealing with the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were hundreds of letters and certificates which Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam had got them written off, of which few we will mention. Constitutional agreement. After the migration of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the foundation of Muslim state was laid down in Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam promulgated a constitutional agreement consisting of 53 articles, clauses, dealing with the rights and the duties between the Muslims and non-Muslims. Reference we giving is Ibn Hisham. However, that the details and the commentary and the comments of these clauses have been dealt in a book by Maulana Professor Muhammad Hamidullah Rabtullah Alayhi of Paris. He wrote this book, a very interesting small book, and it is called The First Written Constitution of the World. So those clauses, 53 of them, he lists them and he comments on them. And that is actually the national policy of a Muslim state and international policy of the Muslim state and also domestic policy of the Muslim state and also the socio-economical policies and interaction with other states and those who are living, those non-Muslims who are living in a Muslim state, their rights, their duties, their responsibilities, everything has been detailed for us. And we as Muslims, we do not have to follow the foreign policies of any other state. Everything has been done for us, alhamdulillah. And this Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did as soon as he got into Madinatul Munawwara, and Madinatul Munawwara was the first Muslim capital and state. And then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with the Jews, especially there, and this 53 clause constitution was made written down. So the science and art of writing already existed therein. After the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got several letters written to Kaiser and Kisra, Bacchus and Najashi, the rulers of Bahrain, Amman, Damascus, Yamama, Najd, Domatal, Jandal, and Hamir tribe, inviting them to embrace Islam. See the political life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When sending an army to war, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got a letter written and gave it to the commander of the army and directed him not to read it until he reached a certain place. After reaching the place, the commander opened the letter and read the command of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See Bukhari. Fourthly, during the migration, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got a treaty of peace and gave it to Suraka bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ibn Hisham. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was migrating with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was pursued by the whole of Makkatul Mukarrama, Suraka bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu caught up with them. And this story is very famous, that how his horse's feet sank, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a treaty of amnesty. He said, no, I want it written. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote it for him, and later on Hazrat Suraka bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he, using that parchment and using that written document, claimed its rights. At the time of freeing his slaves Rafi and Ala, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got a document of freedom and gave it to them. See Musnad Ahmad. Written agreement number 6 was executed in 2 AH with the tribe of Zumrah, in 5 AH with the tribe of Faraza and the tribe of Gaftan, in 6 AH with Quraysh of Makkah, in 9 AH with Akdar bin Abdul Malik. You can see all this in Ibn Sa'd and Tabrani. Number 7, for killing a companion, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed written orders to the Jews of Khaybar for the payment of blood money. See Bukhari and Muslim. Eighthly, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got a letter of condolence written and sent to Maaz radiallahu ta'ala, who, governor of Yemen, on the death of his son. A condolence letter. See the Mustarad al-Hakim. Now there are also books written. For example, letters of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You'll see, ninthly, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a written direction to Samama not to stop the sending of food to the people of Makkah. See Fathul Bari. And number 10, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam issued written orders to grant land at the base of Jabal al-Quds to Bilal bin Haras Muzni. See Sunan Abu Dawud. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent written documents regarding blood money to different tribes. See Muslim. So we can see from all this that in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were documents written, certificates given, there were laws written, books compiled, ahadiths compiled. And in the compilation and writing of the Sunnah during the period of the Tabi'eens, up to 181 AH. During the period of the Tabi'een, a group of Imams of Hadith fully got ready, not only the Sunnah, and complete, which was completed already during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the time of Sahaba, several other compilations were recorded. And we can note, for example, Urwa radiallahu ta'ala, who prepared a collection of Sunnah during dealing with the battles. See Tahzib ut Tahzib, volume 7. Then Tawuz Rahmatullah Alayhi collected the Sunnah dealing with blood money, Bayhaqi. Khalid bin Madan Al-Khayli Rahmatullah Alayhi collected different Sunnah. See Tazkiratul Huffaz, volume 1. Wahab bin Munabba Rahmatullah Alayhi prepared the collection of transmissions of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. See Tahzib. Salman Yaskari Rahmatullah Alayhi collected the Sunnah prepared by Jabir bin Abdullah. See Tahzib. And then you see Abu Ziyad wrote down the Sunnah from his teacher dealing with permitted and forbidden matters. So we can see all this. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali collected an authentic collection of the Sunnah under the name of Muwatta bin Malik, which has an important place amongst the books of Sunnah. And Muhammad bin Muslim Zuhri, during the days of his studentship, wrote down the sayings and deeds of the companions. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Rahmatullah Alayhi, during his Khilafat, Safar 1990 to Rajab, 101 AH, made arrangements at the government level for the compilations of the Sunnah. For this purpose, he passed orders for the collection and the compilation of all the Sunnah by the specialists in the Muslim world. The result was that a great collection of the Sunnah reached the capital of Damascus. These compilations were investigated and arranged by the illustrious and the famous compilers of Sunnah, Muhammad bin Muslim bin Zihab Zuhri. And these became part and parcel of the heritage, rich heritage of Sunnah compilations. So Alhamdulillah, we can see that from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that constantly there was compilation of ahadith. Now concerning the type of ahadith, the speech and the actions and discourses of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have classified it and are known as hadith. If the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing anything or heard anything emerging from his blessed lips, then for them this was certain and absolute proof, since for them in this was absolutely no doubt of it being a hadith. When Sahaba in turn narrated to others what they heard or saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing, that this was also relating to a hadith. And then when the Tabi'een in turn narrated it to others that they heard or saw a certain Sahabi executing a certain act, that this is a narration of a Tabi from a Sahabi. Similarly, if a Tabi'i or anyone thereafter narrates from those prior to them, then this is a khabar, narration, information of that respective narrator. The effect and the blessing of the companionship and presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that every Sahabi was just and reliable. There was possibility of their committing sins occasionally, but not of them being continuously involved in a sin. It is for this reason that if any of them narrated a hadith from Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam to one another or to the Tabi'i, then we have absolutely certainty that their narration is true and reliable. And this is an important factor about the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, because kullukum adul, and every one of them is just, reliable, pious, righteous, authentic. We cannot question the integrity and dignity of any Sahabi. We cannot question the dignity of any Sahabi, because Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, that they were able to never stay on a sin. They constantly were in the state of piety and righteousness. If they committed any sin contrary to us, they never stayed on it. They immediately made a sincere repentance. That is why the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, we have to be very careful concerning Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Because the enemies of Islam will try to criticize the Sahaba, because the Sahaba have brought Quran to us, Nabuwat to us, Tawheed to us, Risala to us, they have brought Hadith to us, Sunnah to us, they have brought Deen to us, Sharia to us, they have brought Khatam and Nabuwat to us. They are a link, a blessed link of the whole and the entire Deen and Sharia to us. So if we question Sahaba, we are in reality questioning the entire Deen. So we have to be wary about those who criticize Sahaba. There are various books on my website, alislam.co.za, wherein we extol and expound the importance and virtues and significance, status and position of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in in detail. Sahaba criterion of right and wrong, status of Sahaba, and the piety and righteousness of Sahaba, all these are on our website. As a rule, if you have to pick up any kitab, if you want to know whether it is authentic, immediately if you look, you find if they criticizing Sahaba, then know that those people are deviants. And those people who criticize and lambast and speak ill about Sahaba, they are misled and misleading. And you should stay far from their works, no matter how big a scholar they may claim themselves to be. So remember that Sahaba, they are mahfuz, protected from sin. And if they sin, they are so quick and sincere in their repentance that their repentance and our repentance are poles apart, and they are sky and earth apart. There are various types of narrations. For example, if some particular matter is being reported by so many persons and narrators, then the listener is certain of it being true, and there is no possibility to level this entire group of narrators as liars, or they are in error. Such a narration is known as khabar-e mutawatir. Such a narration, if it is reported through numerous periods and times, nevertheless the condition for it is being mutawatir is that in every era the narration thereof must be so many that there remains no doubt as to its authenticity. Alhamdulillah, now we are introducing you to a hadith called Khabar e Mutawatir. Khabar e Mutawatir, that this narration has been narrated by so many people, and in every time and generation of narrating, there are so many narrators that the possibility of them gathering and fabricating a falsehood or a concoction or a fabrication is improbable, is impossible. And there are so many narrations until the time of compilations that for them to gather and concoct or fabricate is a virtual impossibility. Then there is no doubt in it, in its veracity, authenticity and reliability. So we call that hadith a mutawatir, a khabar a mutawatir. If however the narrators of a hadith are not so many, but just a few, when there will be a doubt created, then there is a doubt created naturally, that they could all be mistaken or even lying, then such a narration is known a khabar a wahid. If a narration was classified as mutawatir through a few generations, and then in one or more generations there were only a few narrators where there was no compulsion to accept all their authenticities, then such a narration will no longer remain a mutawatir. If however a few narrators are all of such a category that they are reliable and trustworthy, they cannot be discounted as liars, or there may be a small possibility of some of them misunderstanding or forgetting, then to such a narration should not be taken lightly or discarded altogether. So alhamdulillah, we are getting now, one is the khabar mutawatir and one is the khabar wahid, that although it may have started as a khabar mutawatir, but because there was a possibility of error creeping in due to the non-reliability of the narrators, then the status will drop of that hadith and it will become a khabar wahid. So in summary, with regard to the narrators, the hadith is classified in two categories, mutawatir and khabar wahid. The hadith mutawatir, there are various instances in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala brings the attention to the fact by mutawatir, a knowledge of certainty is achieved. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you not see how your Rabb dealt with the people of the elephants? And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you not see how your Rabb dealt with the nation of Ad? Since the information of these incidents had spread amongst the Arabs by tawatur, hence they were well aware of its occurrence, such that it is spoken of as if they had actually seen it. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is denoting, pointing towards these two incidents. One is about the Ashabi Fil, and one is about the nation of Ad. Because they were talking about it, and it was related so often, and so many were relating it, that the idea of concocting it can never be possible, because of so many narrators to it. And when there are so many narrators narrating the same thing, then it becomes mutawatir, because there is no opportunity of fabrication in it, no opportunity of lying, because all are narrating the same incident in the same way, in the same manner, in the same methodology. Therefore, this becomes mutawatir. Now the mutawatir has got types, and now we will, inshallah, discuss the four types. One is the mutawatir isnad. This is where a certain hadith was reported in every era to such an extent, to such a large extent, that is impossible to claim that they were all lying. There are so many such ahadiths. For example, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this you will find in the Muqaddama, in the introduction of Muslim, the hadith kitab called Muslim, he who speaks a lie against me, attributing something falsely against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is preparing his place in the fire. This hadith was narrated and reported by 62 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. The number of narrators has increased in all the subsequent eras. So first of all, you got the hadith. Second, you got the narrators of the hadith. And the narrators of the hadith, in this case, 62 Sahaba. So there can be no doubt in the authenticity of the hadith, in the reliability of the hadith. So this is as far as the isnad, the chain of narrators, and the narrators themselves. Then we can hadith say tabqa. This is such a hadith where in every place an entire sector of the Muslim community learns it, memorizes it, and teaches it to the subsequent generation. This sequence has continued right from the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the present day. The continuity of the Quran Majid is, for example, wahi, whether it is kitabi or ghair kitabi, all of it comes from the blessed lips of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So first of all, we understand the definition of it, that mutawatir e tabqa, that when the hadith is stated in every place, one whole sector of that place, one whole group of that place, of the Muslim community, learns it. Let alone learns it, they memorize it. And let alone learning it and memorizing it, they teach it to the subsequent generation. Like how we have Quran Kareem. Say if we don't have any text of Quran Kareem, and this is exactly what happened in so many communistic countries and in the communistic rule in Russia, that they were learning it without the text. And this happens even in certain areas we find in Maputo, etc., where they do not have the text of Quran Kareem. They produce hafizas, hufastl. How? That in that community, a group, they learn it, memorize it, and teach it to the others. So Quran comes down even in this age, in certain areas of the world, by this mutawatir e tabqa method. That they learn it, they teach it secretly to others, and then they memorize it, and subsequently those who memorize it, they teach it to the next generation. So this could be in the Quran and non-Quran. That's how the literacy of Quran and Ahadith are transmitted from generation to generation. Then we get, for example, now the mutawatir amal and mutawatir tawatur. Inshallah, in the next session, I will continue discussing the types of mutawatir. This session we have discussed thus far, alhamdulillah, that how during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the scholars during the time, they were reading, writing, documenting the speeches, the statements of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the science of writing existed during the time, and they transmitted it from generation to generation. Books upon books have been written on it, and constitution has been drawn on it. Letters of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have been compiled. Science of writing existed there. Proof is adequate. No one can deny this. Then we started discussing the types of ahadith, because our sources of derivation of Quran and Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have to know they are authentic and reliable, because jurisprudence, fiqh, development of masail, diniyat, all that depends when our sources are proved in an authentic manner. No one must be able to question that your sources of derivation, they are dubious. This endeavor is made in the direction to prove that Quran is authentic, Sunnah is authentic, Hadith is authentic, and the source of Ijma and Qiyas subsequently in other series, we will prove that they are reliable, authentic, and we have to use them and utilize them to prove jurisprudic laws are reliable and authentic. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين.